Blog Talk Radio.
In this country, we have a tradition, a celebration of culture, where one community meets another, a beautiful marriage of tastes and flavor, soulful soul food. It's our pride, it's our heritage. On this table, we present the best of the best. And for those that dare to go the extra mile, the ones that try something new, to them, we reserve a seat at the table. A chance to wear the crown. Today, we celebrate a new culture, a new flavor, a new tradition. Introducing Chicoman for taste and tradition.
Out on corners, singing with
gentlemen, this is Looking Glass Entertainment and Beverly Nation Online Radio, and bringing to you A&M University's topic, Unveiling the Light, brought to you by Ambassador Wadet Mentu Hotep L, and also inspired by Ifen Udom of Calabar, Nigeria, who's a computer scientist and aspiring data analyst, that brought on the topic of Unveiling the Light. And we present to you today the focus of which is the points of reckoning of first point, yourself, second point, your mind's eye, and third point, your heart. And we have featured guests tonight that will be coming to speak and communicate with you all in regards to passing on the questions associated with this topic of Unveiling the Light, with its points of yourself, your mind's eye, and your heart. And questions have you focus and think on how your mind's eye and your heart, and as well as yourself, plays a role with your skill and your abilities, and how your skills and your abilities, how it contributes to unveiling the light into as far as your own surroundings and your life and your journey as well. And you can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the discussion. And as we begin with this topic of unveiling the light, with what is a veil? A veil stands for, to mean to cover up. What does it mean to unveil? It means uncover. And when we look at what is light, light is the animating principle in man and woman that has us aware and thinking while performing the action of removing dimness, any dimness such as any unreliabilities or any weaknesses or blindness, any unintelligence, any deceit or sightlessness or confusion from our eyes and from our heart. Now, as we see from these points in regards to veil, in regards to unveil, when we look at this word veil, and we see how a veil may have come in the form of a distraction in our life or a certain event that had caused a certain turn in our lives where we had to make an adjustment in order to improve ourselves. And then when it comes to a veil on our mind's eye or our imagination, we can think of things that may have affected us or certain types of things we have to overcome in order to accomplish a goal that we visualize in our mind's eye that we may be have a desire for completing, a goal that can actually help not only build yourself but build others as well. It may be in the form of a coordination between skilled people or better ways for people to identify what is causing stresses or causing crisis, or in ways they can be able to coordinate together to create solutions that will help them sustain themselves and each other for long periods of time and for their generations as well. And in regards to a veil on our hearts, many of us can be able to think back in our minds of where our hearts may have been covered up, or things that have occurred in our lives may have caused our heart to develop a defense against things where it was once hurt before, or being able to create a system for people to protect their hearts as well as their minds and thus themselves. And I greatly appreciate the young professional, Ifan Udom, for unveiling the light. Yeah, brought this about in regards to a bulletin to where people or our people can be able to express themselves as far as about how they feel about their environment or about how they feel about as far as how academic excellence is playing a role in helping produce valuable people that help go and contribute to the productivity of their environment. And so far, in addition to our quest to the questions that are had that are here, I would like to go through these questions, you know, so we all get a chance to think about them and before guests would chime in. And the first question is, how does your profession, what you love to do, how does that affect your ability to think, expand, and exercise your imagination, your mind's eye? And then, how does your profession affect your ability to think and expand, ability to think about and exercise truth? And how does that same profession affect your ability to identify with yourself and your environment? And how does your profession affect your ability to identify a crisis? And also, how to identify beneficial and practical solutions? So these questions here, and also those who would like to speak on these questions, they are geared toward having us being able to identify our value to our environment and to each other, because especially within our immediate families, on outward to our neighbors, and on into our neighborhoods, because there are certain barriers that we have in our neighborhoods, in our areas, and we know where compassion and where cooperation and coordination plays a role. There are people who have organizational skills. There's people who have innovation skills and people who have guidance skills. And these questions and also these points are geared to help us find building blocks within ourselves and among each other. And those are keys for us to be able to find endurance. Now, beginning with our first guest, we have William Suggs Bay. He is an innovator. And when I met this brother, he has a similar interest in mechanical engineering as myself, and also his focus for innovation. It reminded me of melanated men and women who are very innovative in creating parts and creating technology to be able to help others. And far as with the first question, Brother William Suggs Bay, I would like to know, how does your profession affect your ability to think, expand, and exercise your imagination, your mind's eye? Brother Suggs Bay, if you would like to chime in on the line, please.
Hello? Islam?
Yes, peace be upon you. Yes, Islam. Islam, good brother.
Peace and blessings, brother. Thank you for that wonderful presentation, brother, that you just gave. And I would like to honor all of the listening audiences and everybody who's a part of this program. Yes, brother, that question that you just asked is one that is very, very deep. And it, to choose the words for that, I would have to say that, you know, I have a deep-seated passion as an innovator, as an artist, innovator/artist. My passion originally stems from being an artist, but as a child, I had this vision of a machine that can create electricity, energy, free energy. Sitting as a child on the porch with doorsteps, sitting right in front of a tree in my front, right at the front doorsteps, and seeing this lightning strike a tree twice, I knew that it was electricity. I knew that. It was fire. It burnt the tree. And so me sitting there with these raggedy pair of shoes on, and one of my parents kept walking while the other one said, well, you know, we have to pay a light bill. And I'm being picked on in school over some shoes. So I said, why are we paying a light bill when electricity should be free? So this became a passion of mine, and I began to see these components come together in my mind even as a child. So, yes, I have a deep-seated passion. I discovered my talents as a child through my grandparents and going to school and seeing a couple of other kids drawing. So, you know, and my brother, you know, him, first foremost, seeing him draw and being the expert artist, I became interested to the point where, you know, it became something that I did for the rest of my life up from then to this point. And I hope to God, pray to God, I still continue to do it. But how it becomes helpful, brother, is that, you know, for me, it's more like a therapy. It's a therapy. It's from a psychological point of view, it's a therapy. It's highly spiritual science, art. And how I see how it can help others is that you know, especially on the economic front, or even in personal relationships. You know, I've done a lot of portraits. I've done all type of posters. I've done all type of postcards and some of everything just to put smiles on people's faces. But I also understand that there's an economic side of this thing. You know, I've come to learn later in life that, you know, that my artwork was worth, you know, if not hundreds, some even thousands of dollars. And so with that said, I know that this can be a great contribution in some way or form or fashion economically, especially if your message is in your artwork is right. You know, it all depends on your expression. I mean, you didn't have all different type of artists. But, yeah, this is something that I love doing, and I feel that if I contribute to society in every way possible, especially economics, I mean, you know, some of the same things that we see going on right now in the commercial atmosphere, in the commercial world, you know, we can take our talents and do the same thing. You know, once our children start discovering these talents, which is not very hard to do because everybody has them, you know, one way or another, you know, you have a talent or another. You can be a writer, scholar. You can be a lawyer. You can be good at law. You can be good at articulating words. You can be a politician. You can be anything. You know, all these skills is right here in our children. They have the potential of being anything that they can become in life, you know, and there's no limitations to that other than what we place upon ourselves. But being in this environment, it's important that, yes, we do focus on what we can do to, you know, tap into these untapped resources, which is the prisons, our young people in the streets who don't have anything to do. You know, they need this to get this education and things of this nation that can bring about a change. And so, yeah, my talents and skills, they can be used to do that, as well as any other contributions that is needed. You know what I mean?
Yes, good brother. Also, please let us know in regards to how does your profession help you to improve your heart?
How did it help me improve my heart? Well, first of all,
yes.
Like I said before, it's a highly spiritual. Let me elaborate a little bit further. It's a highly spiritual science. Art is something that, you know, you visualize, you imagine. This, you know, as you practice, just like writing your ABCs, that's art. You know, some say, well, that's just letters. No, well, it's art. You look at any type of object. I don't see a thing. I see shapes, you know. And so I get down into the aspects of my mind to where I feel very spiritual because we're talking about mathematics, numbers, sizes, shapes, you know. We're dealing with geometry, math, you know. And so with that, you know, we become, you know, architectures, builders. And this is what this science does for me. You know, it brings out the best part of me spiritually. But that's what it is. It's a spiritual science. And it teaches you how to bring things together. It teaches you, you know, it sparks the imagination. It lets you see beyond what you can see out of just your visual world. It can carry you into the spiritual realm, and it can help you to create all type of images. You know, and this is the side that is very important to me, and it has helped me throughout the years. This has been my survival. This has been art.
Yes, and that is beautiful, good brother. You know, I would like to also, let us know about how your profession helped you to accomplish through trials and tribulations, you know, from your platform of life, you know, from what you may have recently actually accomplished. Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. Well, you know, I'm going to be, I'm going to be open and honest about this. I spent 28 years, 3 months, 3 weeks in the North Carolina Department of Corrections. And one of the things that stood out the most amongst, you know, to me is when the first minute that they closed that iron doors behind me, immediately my mind went into high gear. You know, I have to survive in here, in this place. I have to, you know, change the way I think. I have to come up with something, because now I'm in a situation that I don't see myself getting out of. And after receiving a life sentence, you know, my determination to do something passionate that I've loved more than anything, almost, not anything, but, you know, I have very deep love for and passion for, I felt that in that is salvation. I felt that if I could take what I knew, my skills, and if I could master them and bring them up to such a level, then I could become viable. I could become an asset to my community. I could become an asset to my brothers. I can become someone that can be looked upon as someone who has put forth the effort and made changes. So that's why I mastered art. But not only that, I went steps further. I even went and got about 8 years of education. I went through just about every trade skill they had throughout different community colleges. But this was because I didn't have anything else to do other than maybe go out and work out, pump weights. But I was looking at a bigger picture. I wanted to do something with myself. I wanted to change my circumstances, you know. And so it being not just the art, but everything that I did, I found solace in it, because I felt the deep-seated satisfaction that I was finally doing something that could make the difference when I get out, that I could contribute. And running across you, for example, Wajet, Brother Wajet, when I run across you, it was the same. I feel the same way. I mean, you're about some of the same things I'm about, the innovation with this energy system. It took 18 years to come up with that throughout the prison system. I sat there for hours and hours scratching my head out, wondering what components do I need. I had to look in the books. I had to ask people. I had to educate myself, and along with what I was learning from on the inside that was available, you see. And this was the beginning of me doing something with myself, with my life, and then understanding how important it was for me to do that. I can't let my children down. I can't let my family down anymore. You know, I couldn't let myself down. I was more disappointed in myself than anybody. And so, yeah, it took me with that determination to want to do something different to make those steps. And understanding the importance of getting skills, understanding the importance of being educated, getting the proper education, not just the education in their schools, but the knowledge itself. I mean, with the knowledge itself behind it, that just pushed it even farther.
Exactly. You know, good brother, like, you know, that's that what you were bringing forth, you know, is a strong example of how our professions and what we love to do can be able to help shape ourselves, you know, and how you use what you visualized in your mind in comparison to what you love to do is able to go and help enhance your heart as well as impact others as well. And I definitely appreciate you chiming in, good brother. And also on the line, we have Sister Sheila. You know, Sheila, if you are on the line, and far as she's engaged with, as far as telecommunications, and also assisting men and women, as far as in regards with mental health. Sheila, would you like to chime in on the line, please, in regards to far as providing us how your profession helps with regards to improving yourself and also
your mind's eye, and your heart.
All right. Thank you for the opportunity, Brother Wajed. Yes, I am Sheila Wiley, and I thank you for the opportunity to be able to present my point of view with this question. So let me just state this. My actual profession is I have a bachelor's degree in computer science, and so that covers a wide variety of actually, you know, just being able to allow one to use one's mind. However, I am also a speaker on I am a speaker, and it really wraps around mental health, just as Brother Wajed mentioned. And as it relates to mental health is important. Basically, you have to be mentally sound to even, you know, be creative, be mentally sound to even, you know, even think through what it is that you want to, you know, actually do in life. If you do not have a mentally sound mind, how can you actually, you know, begin to move forward with creativity? How can you begin to move forward with, like, even working on any type of profession or even having, like, a regular a normal conversation? So mental health in itself is extremely important. Like, for instance, I'm also a school teacher, and so I oftentimes see students who are battling with, number one, perhaps poverty, or number two, they're battling with needing food or even not even getting proper rest. Proper rest, it really is important in your mental stability. It helps you to focus better. So when it comes to, like, you know, different careers or even the students, even when they're coming inside of the school, you want to make sure that they're mentally sound by, number one, making sure that they're able to focus. And with focusing, of course, you want to make sure that you're getting proper rest. You want to make sure that you're eating. You want to make sure that you're even living in a healthy environment. Where we live and how, you know, things are in the home life, those things are extremely important. I've seen students where they've come from unstable homes where it does affect their mental health. It makes them come into the classroom more grouchy. It may make them come into the classroom sleepy or in a, you know, pretty much in a bad mood. However, if they're in a mentally sound foundation or area, then that actually helps to even improve their performance, like in whatever manufacturing, accounting, computer science, whatever area they're trying to perform in, having a mentally stable mind is actually very important in that area. So I would say that mental health is basically, I mean, it is extremely important. It's like at the top of the list. It's not where you need it to breathe, but it is still on the top of the list. And as I was talking, brother, I want to mention, here's a definition. Basically, mental health, it includes your emotional, your psychological, and your social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act. Basically, it also determines how we make our decisions. So mental health in its own, in a nutshell, it actually is important for every day of your life, every day of your life. One more thing that I want to mention as I'm talking about this, some things that can affect your mental health are trauma, okay? So an example of trauma could have been something to where maybe a parent passed or maybe a friend passed or maybe, you know, something to the point of where some close loved one maybe neglected you. A few things that I used to notice in the school is where the parents may neglect the children. That can bring forth trauma or abuse, you know, to the mind, which in turn affects the mental health and then which in turn affects their creativity, their drive to even want to even, like, you know, press forward. It causes depression if it's not well, if it's not maintained. Another thing that I would like to mention is that it is very important that you concentrate and you try to stay, you know, you try to remain mentally sound. So my question is, how does one remain mentally sound? One can remain mentally sound by, number one, practicing self-care. That's just basically maybe doing meditations, reading a book, just really remaining positive, remaining around positive people. But, yeah, overall, mental health is extremely important in the area of your in the area of your ability to think and to think, expand, and exercise your imagination, the mind's eye.
Awesome. That was beautiful. Ms. Wiley, you know, Sheila Wiley, in regards to what you have to present for us today. We have a couple more questions as well for our show. And we are broadcasting live from Lagos, Nigeria, and other guests can dial in at 516-453-9133 if you have, as far as any communications for Ms. Wiley and also Brother Suggs Bay. And also, this is brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment and DJ Lance B. Hit us with the track. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, and we are back for broadcasting to you live now from Lagos, Nigeria. You can dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment, the conversation about unveiling the light and the points of reckoning. First point, yourself. Second point, your mind's eye, which is your imagination. The third point, which is your heart, in how your profession evolves around these things to help you expand your awareness in your thinking and how it helps to remove the dimness from your eyes and your heart, as well as the blindness too. And now, as we go back to our guest, Ms. Sheila Wiley, in regards to the profession of computer science and also your interest in mental health. As we get back into in regards to the mental health aspect, the question comes of how has the mental health journey contributed to truth for you in your journey? Ms. Wiley, if you're on the line, please chime in on this question, please.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So if I'm understanding your question, you wanted to know how has mental health – I'm sorry, do you mind repeating the question?
Like, how has for mental health on your journey, with that being a component inside of your journey, how has that contributed to truth for you? How has it revealed truth for you and to accomplish certain goals?
Okay, yes. So basically, let me just back up and state this. I did suffer or have a traumatic event that had occurred in my life. Before that traumatic event had occurred in my life, very motivated, I was very enthusiastic about different things and, you know, succeeding, accomplishing, you know, with certain accomplishments. However, once that trauma occurred in my life, of course, that does something with your brain, with your psyche. And so once that trauma happened, it basically affected my entire mental state. So instead of me being joyous, I became depressed. I got to a point where I wasn't really excited about anything. I wasn't really motivated or really, you know, I knew there were accomplishments that I had to achieve. However, it was not with that same motivation and drive that I had before I had the trauma. So how did I begin getting past that point as far as my mental state? And this is where the importance come in at. Once you go into like a depression or have anxiety or panic attacks, you begin to just go into a shell. You're not wanting to be around anyone. You may not even want to work anymore, which is not good at all. So in order for me to get back to the place that I'm at now, I, number one, had to begin surrounding myself with positive people. I had to literally be intentional with pressing myself and trying to get back to the mental state that I was before. That looked like I was doing a lot of meditation. I was, you know, listening to music, reading, listening to like a lot of inspirational people to just help me with that particular drive. I had my close friends around. So in saying that, once I began to get back to a better mental state or have a healthier thought pattern, a healthier mind, I began appreciating life again. And then in turn, my work performance or my job performance or my skills, period, in school, wherever it may be, they began to become more bright. So it was a more positive, it was very negative. And that bad mental state, it affected pretty much everything. So having a good mental health or mental state of mind, it can either hurt you having a bad one. So it's very important to get back to having that good mental state of mind.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was beautiful. Because when thinking about that particular topic, you know, in regards to when people go through traumatic experiences and when they recover, that the way that we recover, especially with using like wisdom from elders and also from going with the feeling of the intention, like, well, in our heart of knowing what is healthy to do and what is correct to do. Because I'm sure there are some people and others that who may have gone through an experience where they had visualized thoughts in their mind of the right of some of things to handle a situation. You know, we experience mm-hmm. negative examples and we experience positive examples, and those examples that we would see, some would make our heart feel at ease and some would make our heart feel tight. And so that especially when we see how people around us react to certain things, how they react to kindness, how they react to compassion, and how they react to being neglected or such. We experience those things, and when we see it in our mind, it has a way of affecting our heart. And even though sometimes that we may not have received certain guidance from elders on a particular perspective, that we would actually see it in our environment, and learning that having compassion, it helps to unveil our mind's eye to be able to see where other people are coming from, not just ourselves, whenever it comes to a certain thought in our mind of how helping someone across the street, how that impacts our work, and how it helps another person, or even with learning a skill to be able not only to be beneficial for our own revenue or our own personal income, but of how that skill, when paying attention to an environment that we work in and within, that doing that will be able to teach others, and the teaching comes with compassion and sharing, and which is a part of love that boosts our value as a person to our lineage and to our neighborhood, and also to a directing body known as a government or whatnot, but just how mm-hmm. we treat each other with compassion, and also how it helps us help each other, that itself boosts our values as people, and also produces confidence as well. Also on the line, Brother Suggs, William Suggs Bay, if you'd like to chime in on this topic as well, definitely thank you, Ms. Wiley, as far as for providing your input on this topic. And Brother William Suggs Bay, if you'd like to chime in, please, in regards to how your profession helped to help you see truth, and
well,
how
well,
your yes oh my, oh,
yeah, I got
my
you.
Apologies, good brother.
No, I got you. I understand perfectly where you're coming from. Well, you know, for my craft helping me to see the truth being myself, it helps me to look deep within myself. And that's exactly what it did. I mean, I used to stand for hours and hours and hours a day, all through the night, standing and sometimes just sitting and drawing. This craft, like I said before, is a spiritual thing to me. You know, it's a spiritual thing to me. And I come to discover a lot about myself. I come to learn about patience. I come to learn about being, you know, determined, just, you know, being constant, being persistent, you know, because each piece I see is a challenge. Everything I do is a challenge. you know, and I'll try to do it with perfection. I like the aspect of mental health that the sister was just now mentioning about, about traumatic experiences, you know, and at the time I was going through a traumatic experience. I was going through a time in my life that I didn't think that I would live to even sit in a car again, eat a cheeseburger on the outside or at McDonald's, you know, be hug my son, my daughter, you know, go carry them out and eat with them, you know, be with my family, you know, just, you know, living a normal life, what you could call a normal life. You know, and that was a traumatic experience that I went through for years. And I say to this day that there's no way that I could have gotten out and not be psychologically untouched. I know that I have endured a lot of experiences that was traumatic, you know, throughout, even by life before incarceration. Came incarceration, it was all about survival mode. And I've got that same attitude to this day. You know, because I spent over more than half of my life in prison. So that automatically put me in survival mode, you know. But for his love, I've always loved people. My heart has never been set on anything except love. But then there were times when I felt a lot of anger, you know, a lot of different emotions, you know, and then, you know, trying not to be overtaken by any one particular emotion except the right emotion. One that's productive, you know, positive. But my craft has helped me. My work has helped me in tremendous ways. As it helps me to even build my own character, because now here it is, I'm having to interact with different people, and in my interaction with different people, I come to know different people. I come to develop friendships. You know, I come to do favors for people, do things for people that, you know, that they was maybe doing something for their family, and I was doing things for them. Well, I worked for them, and it just, everything just worked out. And I did a lot of that over the years to help other people, and a lot of my work was charity, you know. So, you know, in charity, we know charity translates into love, you know. So I've always had that in my heart. I've always been a loving, kind person. I've always been that way. And it shocked a lot of people to find me where I became, you know, where I was at. It shocked a whole lot of people, and it shocked me. And I became like so disappointed. And like I said, that was a traumatic experience. But throughout that traumatic experience, you know, I found myself, you know. And in finding myself, I began to try to do something about going through some self-help programs where you're dealing with, say, thinking for a change. Fatherhood programs, anger management. You know, you're going through different programs. I went through different programs, and I began to take a look deep inside of them, and it has a lot to do with our emotions. You know, how to deal with our emotions. You know,
right. And those things that you have mentioned, good brother. You know, those are very strong, and they're able to. Those are strong jewels for people to be able to help grab a hold of. In their mind and be able to, you know, harness them inside themselves so they can be able to improve themselves. And also, for our two guests tonight, we do have a caller in the queue. And caller, please state your name and where you're calling from.
It's Long, what about a car too? How you doing? How y'all doing? How y'all doing? First of all, man, what can I say to you, Ambassador, why that Mentu Hotep L. I'm telling you, all in all, it's really having its way with you. And the first tone I heard tonight was my brother. I can't thank you enough for being, man, right now I'm so elated as you continue to share your story with the world. And to know that I was fortunate to be able to see you in person over 19 years ago, and to be able to know for a surety that you was there in the confines of hell and you was able to make it out. You get what I'm saying? I remember, and in much respect to you as well, beloved sister. But far as my brother, when it comes to artistry, I have yet to see You know, there's many great artists out there, but when I say this brother here, not just because I develop a divine love for this young man that's your special guest tonight, but when I say to you that I have yet to see any artist in his story or our story that can compare to the skills. When I say to you, just a small example, when I first received one of his drawings via mail and he was able to get a shadow effect, you know, you, those of us of Nuban Egyptian heritage know about the Namus, right? And he did like a drawing of King Tut. And when I tell you that he was able to do like a shadow image inside the Namu, I mean, I can't even, I'm trying to even explain what I actually saw with my eyes. And I remember these words, and correct me, Aki Bey, Wim Soaks, Bey, correct me. You told me, I asked you, I said, how in the world would you able to draw a shadow in between something like that? And your words, correct me if I'm wrong, live on air, seven whatever, million whatever. You told me, you said that where most people look at a picture or an image, you see an object. Or did I just mess it up? After all, it's been over 19 years, so, you know.
You're correct.
Yeah. Wow. And I'm looking forward to the world being able to recognize you. The same way the world recognized the Michelangelos and all that kind of stuff like that. And let me say one more thing before I get off here. What is it going to take for us to invest in extraordinary beings like your master of artistry, Wim Soaks Bey, the same way that we have invested in other people, especially when it comes to European artists? Only thing what I'm saying is you spend your money who you want to spend. But right now, we are hurting as a people. You get what I'm saying? It's almost like if you got a people that's got generational income over three or four centuries ahead, right? How is it that we continue to take our hard-earned money and continue to invest in someone who don't need it because they got generational money, right? And you got people who's living below the poverty line. Wouldn't it be better for us to invest in ourselves and each other so we can get above the poverty line, you understand, by making a concentrated effort? Because trust me, whether you're recognizing his story, it don't even matter, because what you have done in our story will be in the Hall of Records for the rest of eternity. I want to take time to acknowledge that. Thank you.
Thank you. And brother, hi, yes, thank you, Elder Hooney, you know, chiming in on the line, with us tonight, you know, because your presence is greatly appreciated, you know, because that helps even more with the energy that's being put out tonight by, you know, brother William Soaks Bey, and as well as, you know, Sister Stilo Wiley and DJ Olasky. You know, bring us into the next track. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and we are broadcasting to you live from Lagos, Nigeria. It's Looking Glass Entertainment, and you can call in on the line at 516-453-9133 on our topic tonight, of which is unveiling the light of the points of reckoning. Point one, yourself. Point two, your mind's eye, which is your imagination. And point three, you know, your heart. And it has been, of course, wonderful, you know, as this show has been going on. And with our current question that we have for our guests and also for the whole entire other guests on the line of this radio show tonight is how, far as our profession of what we like to do, you know, how that helps us to interact better in our environment. And we have our caller in the queue. Please state your name and what you're calling from.
Robot.
Come on, Tech. Thanks for chiming in online.
Most definitely. So I'm listening, and I kind of faded out. I didn't get the last part of your question. Please say it again.
It was about how your profession helps you to interact in your environment, whether if it's with people or whether if it is with places or organisms, you know, whatever you would like to talk about.
Well, us as being light beings, we, and Cosmosans, we tend to like to gravitate towards the higher realm. So for me, I'm a spiritual student teacher and a herbalist, so it's important that I'm in a positive environment at all times. And with that being said, being around positive energies, it allows you to keep the chakras aligned. And I love your topic, unveiling the light, because once you activate that third eye, you're able to see beyond the physical. And there's a lot of things that I'm not going to really go into detail about that I've experienced, because I think a lot of your spiritual experiences should be kept to yourself. But I will say, being a light being on a higher level of conscious and a higher frequency, you're able to tap in and connect to things that humans really can't really connect to on a third dimensional level. So this topic is very important, because you're giving people a lot of the keys and the knowledge that they need to tap in and connect with those higher energies. So tell a tech for this, and thank you for, you know, dropping them jewels like you always do, Ajet.
Yeah, and tell we had Jamal Tech, in regard, and, you know, that stands for thank you, sister, you know, in Sabaic language. And in general, also, please let us know for about your show, you know, on the ONE Network and when it comes on.
My new show is called The Essence of Time, and I am in the process of coming up with the next topic. It's going to be juicy, of course. It will be 29 days from today. So I'm very excited, and you can tune in, of course, on the ONE Network, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So just stay tuned, connect with me on Facebook and everywhere. Also follow our wonderful CEO and wonderful International Radio Hall of Fame, DJ Honeybee. He keeps you also in tune and updated on our shows. So it's going to be fun. I'm really excited.
Also, don't go away yet. You know, also, give a shout. Like, do you have any questions for our guest tonight, as far as with Brother William Suggs Bay and also with Sister Sheila O'Reilly?
Yes, I have the same question for both of you. How did you come into your awareness of the knowledge that you have?
Would that be me? Do you answer that question too, Suggs? Hey?
As I'm asking
the
question to those people, the same question.
Okay. Well, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay. Well, for me, how I came into the knowledge of it, I became isolated. Now, I mean, I know that it's unfortunate, of course, you know, that there are people coming into knowledge and consciousness and different sets of circumstances. And with me, I became isolated from society. And when I became isolated from society, I began to look for a way out. And the only way that I can see a way out was within myself. I had to find myself. I had to study myself. I had to examine myself. I had to pay attention to my own thoughts, words, works, and deeds. You know, I had to make a change for my own self. I had to think. You know, I had to really, really think. I mean, I was in a situation that I didn't want to be in. So that sparked the thinking process. And not only that, I mean, I have a passion for things anyway, for life, certain things, aspects of life that not the pleasurable things that you find out in what we refer to as the streets, but just enjoying life in general, just having a happy life. You know, I've always had passion for this. I always had passion to love people. And so when I came into the consciousness that actually made me start really striving is when I became isolated and was going through a traumatic experience. With that is when into my own self, I began to develop a different character, a different personality. And I began to apply those same principles that comes along with being conscious to everyone I dealt with, you know, all my circumstances I started applying. And I made it through. You know, it's been a lot of years, but I made it through. I was one of the fortunate ones that maintained good health. You know, like I said earlier, I would be lying if I said that I wasn't psychologically affected by the experience, because I definitely was, and I still feel like I am. But at the same time, I know that there are certain rules that I have to apply to myself. And being conscious helps me to do that.
Thank you, brother.
We're talking about some 30 years ago.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And Sister Sheila Wiley, would you like to answer her question?
Yes. So if I'm understanding you right, actually, do you mind posing that question again?
How did you come into your awareness, like your level of consciousness?
How did I unveil my eye? It was really the trauma that I had gone through. It was actually not just trauma, but it was the arena in which the trauma occurred that just gave me this, that allowed me, you know, my conscience, or per se, I think you say your third eye, but it just really just woke me up. And so it's like, I want to say, I think I've said sometimes it was through my pain that really, you know, the pain that I went through that really pressed me into the area of consciousness that I'm in. I know that we all endure pain, you know, throughout our lifetimes. However, it was the area. It was more of like in a religious or spiritual area. Oh, I'm sorry, not spiritual, more of a religious area that actually awakened me, you know, to where I am right now. It's like as a result of going through what I had gone through or experienced, it has like I have a new, think of life, or I see life differently. I see things in life differently. I learned to appreciate things more. I've learned to love more. I've learned to be more sincere. I've actually learned to just make sure that, you know, I'm always telling the truth, showing others that I care. Because number one, your mind is precious. And then of course, life is precious as well. So I came into this level of consciousness as a result of like the area of pain that I had endured. And so it's like it's as if I were awakened from something. So I'm hoping I answered the question.
You did. That was really, really deep. And I like how you put that, because one thing that I want to say, when we are put in traumatic situations, it's like it opens up some type of doorway for us. We call it the ta in Egyptian language. And it's remarkable how your trauma can make you connect and reconnect and align yourself in a better space and a better environment. And, wow, thank you so much for sharing, and thank you to the other guest speaker that shared. You answered my question very well. This, I'm loving this energy, by the way. Wajet, this is a very wonderful topic. You're doing it.
Thank you, Sheila, and thank you, Brother Bay. You know, and this is beautiful, so divinely beautiful. And DJ Olaski, bring us in for the track.
that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funky stuff. Give it to me. Give me that stuff, that funk, that sweet, that funky stuff. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give me that stuff, that sweet, funky stuff.
Hey, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria. Dial in at 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation about unveiling the light, points of reckoning, dealing with yourself, your mind's eye, and your heart. Brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Yeah. This show has been going on wonderfully. It's very, very powerful. Thanks to Sister Sheila Wiley and Brother William Suggs Bay. Now, in regards to this topic and the energy that's been carried on, you know, we see that how our professions can have an effect on our ability to remain focused in our mind and in our heart. And also those very principles and virtues and that provide direction for us, you know, that are things such as, like, when you go to school, focus, pay attention, you know, and even, you know, common things of direction like no bullying, you know, all the different things that help us to, that actually contribute to treating people right and also to helping others focus on being able to absorb information so they can be able to help themselves and also help others. So at the end of the day, whenever you are focused, able to focus in your mind on absorbing information and also being able to focus on absorbing the info to be able to help yourself, to be able to help another person, to develop strong solutions in your environment, that heals our heart and that heals our mind, because then from there we have positive things that we have done when taking others' feelings into consideration, and also what it looks like when we follow the instructions according to the duties that we have that are associated with our profession. Because our profession, whether if it is in regards to mental health, computer science, drawing, or even with athletics, they all have their methods and they have their instructions and they have their techniques that when we complete them fully, every time, according to the instructions, we feel a lot better. We feel accomplished. We feel honor within our own hearts and within our minds as well, and that helps our blood system too, to make us feel better and also to think clearer, and also in remembrance that we are able to have things we can account for in our minds, things that we can account for a whole 24 hours of a day. We can be able to think about the positive things that we have done as opposed to the negative things. And we'll be able to use the positive things that we have done, like methods that we have completed, whether if it's a chore or whether if it is even completing, actually taking or notes enough at class, or even being able to focus on getting all the questions you have asked out so you can feel complete. And so you're able to express what you have learned to others, to perfect your public speaking and your communications, and to be able to pass on to another that patience that it took to be able to complete techniques and complete methods to develop summaries about what you have learned, you know, so you're able to pass on the excellence and pass on the profession. Also, I wanted to make it known that for us to build on what Elder Hooney had, far as I brought up in regards to about the need for us to invest in our businesses. And what has come for us from research was that in regards to China, who spent time investing money to be able to develop infrastructure in Africa, that they have at least 160 Chinese firms operating in Nigeria, and they had invested at least $20 billion. So it is definitely safe to say and mention that those businesses, the people who are there, have families that support them or have lineage that support them in order for them to be able to complete their tasks and duties according to the roles that they play in the firms, for the firms to be able to gain the revenue that they need to be able to even accomplish being able to play their role to develop infrastructure in another country. And melanated people in the Americas can do the same thing. We are able to support each other and ourselves and our professions and our talents and our skills to be able to accomplish the same thing. And it is something that is attainable through systems, and wanting to let those who have professions know, you know, and also businesses know that who he enterprises, you know, it's a cultural and corporate system that provides opportunities for businesses to be able to get a direction and a vision for how much of actual labor force that they need, an administration force that they need, so our neighborhoods can be able to know. And through a mission like this, this is something that is associated with the Association of African Descendants Worldwide, you know, and also others like the Sixth Region Global Chamber of Commerce, who are focused on helping skilled people with their professions to be able to expand them in a marketplace for melanated businesses that represent neighborhoods and villages, you know, so we'll be able to have a strong market between each other. And also to know more about that, you can be able to contact me through my Facebook at Wadet Mentuhotep L, and also where you'll be able to continue to communicate with those of professions such as Sister Sheila Wiley and also Brother William Suggs Bay and others, as well as Ifan Udom of Nigeria. That his profession is computer science, and he had inspired the topic of unveiling the light. And we do have a bulletin that's being developed, you know, so to be able to spread throughout Nigeria and also throughout other areas in Africa, as well as in the U.S. also, in other places where those that would like to see the bulletins in their area. And also, far as Sheila Wiley and Brother William Suggs Bay, is there anything that you would like to provide for the audience tonight in regards to far as things that they could be able to focus on in a positive manner as we continue through and enduring through these any trials and tribulations we may be going through at this time? Sister Sheila Wiley, do you have anything you'd like to share with the audience?
Sheila, are you there? Hold on. Sheila, are you there?
Hold on, let's see if she's on another line.
Hold on a second. And I think that line is right here. All right. Sheila, you there?
Hello.
All right, there she is. All right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I heard y'all. So, yes, I would like to share something, Brother Wajet, as it relates to that. I know I didn't speak on computer science. However, mental health is the most important thing to, you know, that's the springboard to anything, whether it be our artistry. And I love the way the young man was speaking on, you know, how he paints or how his artwork is built, you know, from the heart. And so, like, I would definitely love to see your artwork because I'm a very, I love imagery. And so, in doing that, like, for me, a part of my mental health is actually writing poems, writing songs. And so, those are different ways that I can express myself. I can express how I'm feeling. So, as it relates, so I just want to leave with the audience. As it relates to your mental stability or your well-being, you know, always focus on the positive and trying to do something that you really love. Once you begin doing that and putting your heart into it, you should begin to say that your mental state, especially after going through like a traumatic experience, or even if you have not experienced trauma, just keeping a healthy mind is so important. It's the springboard to anything that you choose to do in life. And that's all I have to say.
Awesome. Brother William Suggs Bay, you have anything you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, I concur with this beautiful young lady here that just got through speaking. I'm going to be honest with you, that mental health is critical because even now I still struggle, I think, from a psychological point of view, I know I do, to continue to cope out here because of where I come from. Even though I have skills, that is the very primary focus of survival. But at the same time, you know, as the saying goes, mind over matter. If your mind ain't right, then how are you going to get anything else right, you know? But, yes, I do also believe in pooling resources. I think it's very important that that we take that economic sector of our communities in our society where we have to live at, you know, where we have to raise our children at, you know, where we have to survive at. You know, it's very important that we start thinking in terms of pooling these resources. I mean, that we're making too much capital, currencies, to not be able to pool our resources and to make certain things happen for us. You know, and we can do that as individual groups. We can do that as whole societies. We can do that and blossom the whole thing out and blossom our whole communities out, you know. Every starting with our children, educating them, you know, pooling our resources and getting them certain skills that otherwise they may not be able to get anywhere else. I mean, you know, certain skills that is necessary for us to survive that's actually a necessity. You know, we need to start thinking in terms of as a people too. I mean, we need to get together and start thinking about how we can take our most talented people and not just the most talented, but, you know, those who don't know what their talents are, help to foster them to come to learn what they are and then turn around and help them build on it. You know, we just need to pool our resources and start investing in ideas, businesses, inventions, whatever the case might be. I mean, if everybody else is doing it, why can't we do it? You know, that's the way I see it. And we have to do it because that's what it's going to take for us to survive. We have to come up with ways to pool our resources and channel our monies and put them in places that is much needed for us. That's what we need to do.
And Brother Williamson, you're perfectly right on that point. And who he enterprises, you know, has those systems available, you know, for our neighborhoods, villages, districts, and tribes and lineages, you know, to be able to make those visions happen for us of an efficient way of transferring our resources and also gathering them and also far as directing our trainings as well and people who are able to provide them all in an all-inclusive system, you know, to be able to support our sustainability. And to learn more about that, you can reach out to me at 917-691-0842, 917-691-0842. And also, now we have Ngozi
time. Well, first of all, I want to thank Sheila and William tonight being so loving on the mic, sharing their experiences and understanding life and building upon greatness. You can't beat Oney Dynasty. Every single show that we give on a constant basis is about light, understanding, and the gift of your own spiritual wealth. And I appreciate Wajet Mentalhotep L very, very much because he's a wonderful human being. Now, of course, tomorrow night, Wajet, one of your favorite shows, and you better have your behind on it, the legendary Merc City Hip Hop Program with, of course, Big Will Holmes and Retro Music. And tomorrow night, we have our verses. It is Ravenous Wajet, Outkast versus Tribe Called Quest. You don't want to miss it, okay? And you know how we do. You know, our supportive, wonderful listening audience is going to be voting and see who, if Will wins or if Retro wins. Tomorrow night, the legendary Merc City Hip Hop Program, 9:30 Eastern on these ONE stations. And, of course, Devin Nation is advertising to ONE, which is Oladeli Ngozi Enterprise, which, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Prime Taiwan at bevnet.com. We're Ngozi Time both on Twitter and Instagram. Oladeli Ngozi at Paris and Google+. Oladeli Malaywa Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, A&M University, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. And any comments, suggestions for our wonderful program tonight, oladele.ngozi@gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Oladeli Malaywa Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio that support us on a constant basis tonight. Wajet Mentalhotep L, our ambassador to the world, you have 1 minute and 30 seconds left to go in this wonderful program tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to know more about how for support for your business and you as a skilled person or an entrepreneur to be able to expand yourself for us throughout Africa and throughout the Americas, you can be able to contact me at 917-691-0842 to learn more about Hoochie Enterprises, to network with the Association of African Descendants Worldwide and the Sixth Region Global Chamber of Commerce. And 917-691-0842. And everyone, have a wonderful night. May the force be with you.